Let's do it. Excuse me. Sound test.
Happy Thanksgiving, Zofran is Odancitron.
I like that. I'm going to say Happy Thanksgiving from Jesus Christ. Yeah, I sound good. Is that loud?
As always.
A little bit loud. Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
Welcome to Just Bring Coffee, the 5 a.m. edition of our little podcast. I'm Jason Mark. That's Joe Neal. We are going to talk about... Mom, I got the turkey ready. He's dead. You gonna cook it? I don't know the fuck that was. I'm sorry.
Oh, geez. My name is Joe Neal, and this is my brother from another mother with the same grandmother, Jason Mark.
Yeah.
And this is...
That was supposed to be a turkey running away and then getting its head cracked. His neck rung.
That was me losing my mind.
How's it going, man?
How was sounds your... like a turkey getting murdered.
Yeah, that was the goal. It's 5 in the goddamn it morning. How's it going, brother from another mother's thing, grandmother? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was way better than I thought it would be.
Oh, good. How many of you were there?
Oh, just me and Laura Pauline Christ.
Nice. So that's why it was so good then.
Well, I figure I'll give a little recap.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for calling me out on misspelling Zeus.
Hey, you called yourself out in a text message. I just brought that text to life
in front of
audio.
At least one listener on the internet.
Yeah. Was that...
Couple
things. So Joe last night sent me a photograph of a piece of paper, and written on it, it said, J. Zeus Christ. And he said that was... Can I say what you said that was?
Yes.
He went to a mystery dinner thing, and that was your secret code name. Mm-hmm. And then he texted me, he said, damn it, I misspelled Zeus.
Yeah.
And
you probably already knew.
Well, yeah, I mean, I saw that. But first, my question is, was that a picture of the artifact from the dinner itself? Like, did someone hand that to you? Did you hand that very piece of misspelled paper to someone?
That's the really unfortunate thing. Because I thought I was being funny.
Uh-huh. You were.
Last night at the murder mystery dinner. And we all made name tags, and you get to make up your own name.
Yeah.
And then people have to go around, and, you know, they're looking for suspects, and people had to constantly drill me about my name, which was supposed to be Jesus Christ.
Right.
Right?
Which is funny.
I misspelled Zeus, and that really makes a lot of sense because nobody was getting the joke and a lot of people were mispronouncing it. And then they would finally land on, oh, it's like Jesus Christ. Oh, and I thought I was surrounded by idiots, but I was the idiot.
Well,
it was a mystery and I didn't solve it until I sent you a picture of my name tag that was misspelled.
There's got
to
be.
But the whole joke was supposed to be like, what's Zeus Christ? So what do you do for a living? And I'm like, well, I'm a religious leader.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Actually, I have two.
You're two. Yeah, that's
– I like that. Very religious man.
See, that's clever, and there's probably
Yeah, but I fucked it up.
Yeah, but there's something probably –
because I'm dyslexic.
No, there's something probably philosophical about how it was only upon reflection through photography that you saw what you really were. I mean, you spelled it Z-U-E-S, which could be pronounced Zeus – Zeus, right? Because it's the U, zoo, right? Now we spell it Z-E.
There was a couple of people that said Zeus? And I'm like, I'm dealing with fucking idiots here. I'm going to win this game.
See, I think it's great that they took you seriously.
That was
nobody...
a clue. That was a clue in the mystery of who's the fucking idiot.
Is that the, was that the mystery? Who's the idiot on this,
yeah,
in this dinner?
Who's the fucking idiot around here?
But did anybody – there's got to have been somebody who walked up and immediately went, fuck, I spelled Zeus wrong. But you're telling me people talked to you like they took you seriously. I think that shows some respect. You know, they're like, well, I'm just going with the spelling. I don't know nothing.
Yeah, they were very kind. Yeah.
Well, I think it's great. And I would be okay. I don't know what I'm saying. If someone told me, hey, actually, did you know that the reason they called him Jesus is because they stole the Zeus part? There's really no guy named Jesus. They were just like, Jesus, what's up? Jesus, that sounds good. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We'll call him Jesus. Christ, that's a good name. Wait, what did you just say? I said, Christ, that's a good name. I like the Christ part, too. Oh, my God. Have we hit something on the head here with our nail, our hammer? Did you just say, oh, my God? I did. We're using that, too. Fuck! Okay, we can't use that. I just did a whole dialogue there in 15 seconds by myself. Jesus.
Christ.
Christ. No,
so,
yeah.
Have you ever been to one of these things?
Yeah, I have. Before? I did.
I figured that you had. You'd been to many escape rooms. This is kind of escape roomy.
I've been to one. It was not what I was hoping for, but it was all right. How was yours? Let's talk about escape. Let's talk about mystery dinners on the Thanksgiving episode.
Well, we'll get to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we will.
If you have anything to say about Thanksgiving, I have a couple things. Exciting or funny, but this is about a dinner. And it was on Thanksgiving weekend.
Okay.
So, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's something.
What was the takeaway? What was the deal? Did you murder someone? Did someone murder you or you?
No, but both. There were two people at our table of six that were murdered in front of us by the end of the dinner. So I felt kind of lucky in that respect. Because there was three people murdered throughout the night. One person ran in screaming and died on the floor. Okay. The other two died. The lights went out, and then when the lights come back up, the other person's dead. And both of those people were at our table. And there was fucking a dozen tables.
Yeah.
So we were lucky. I felt we were lucky. But I thought I was going to get murdered by Laura Pauline because this was a surprise. You know, it was her birthday.
Yeah.
On the 27th, and since it's the weekend, I thought this would be the best time to one of a series of surprises that I gave her for her birthday. This was the last one, was to take her to this dinner because we've never been to one of these before.
Yeah.
And so, but I thought she was going to kill me because on the way there, she said, can you just tell me what we're doing? She's like, please just tell me. I don't want a surprise. Just tell them what's going on. I'm like, yeah, we're going to a mystery dinner. And she's like, oh, that'll be fine. As long as the food's good and that nobody makes me do anything. And then my head kind of hung a little bit lower. And I said, well, I hope that's the case. And as we sat down, we couldn't even sit next to each other, and she's kind of looking across the table at me like, oh, God, she's surrounded by strangers.
Yeah.
And then as soon as this mystery dinner began, they started fucking with people randomly.
Yeah, yeah.
And she looked at me kind of harshly again. Aww. I don't know. This is me. I think I'm misinterpreting her looks. I think that she was genuinely kind of just trying to get adjusted and trying to get into it. But
yeah,
I thought she was going to kill me. I thought I was going to be the murder victim by the end. And luckily, the chicken piccata was good, too.
Okay.
I know that she was going to want a good dinner, and you just get what you get at these things.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
You get either the chicken or the fish. It's like in the movie Airplane. And I didn't pick the fish because in the movie Airplane, the fish is what made everybody sick.
That's true.
Brought the plane down. Yeah. So we did the chicken piccata. She liked it. She ended up laughing. I thought the performers were funny. The mystery was good.
Okay.
So it's good. But it was a little bit risky,
okay,
I think, to take her to this thing. And I was personally a little bit underwhelmed by the whole experience.
Okay. Well, it is, Thanksgiving weekend. I mean, these people were probably stuffed to the gills with, you know, turkey, and now they're like, oh, okay, let's see. Oh, I'm going to kill you. No, don't. Chicken piccata, everybody. Yeah, so good on you, though, for giving her that gift.
It was in the lobby of a DoubleTree hotel.
Oh, the lobby. Wow. All right. A DoubleTree.
Yeah.
Try that whistle again. There we go. I went to one. Yeah.
By the way, I want to say, yeah. I did solve the murder almost.
Okay.
I had put together all the clues. I was looking around. I told my table just before they came in to reveal who the murderer was. I said, I have figured out that the name of the murder is Spider-Man, but I don't know who the hell in this room is Spider-Man.
Oh.
And here's another disappointment. Not only did I misspell Zeus on my name tag and ruin my fucking half-assed joke, but there was a dude the whole time that had a camera. His name was Peter Frying Pan, and he had a camera, and he was involved in the story, and of course he's Spider-Man.
Ah, okay, yes, Peter Frying Pan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was taking pictures for his website. He's a webmaster.
His name was Peter. Yeah, okay.
So he was fucking Spider-Man. I got down to Spider-Man, but then I couldn't make the last connection.
To Peter Frying Pan. Peter is Peter Parker. Now, the frying pan part. Now, frying pan rhymes with Spider-Man, frying pan Spider-Man, right?
Okay, I missed that part.
No, that's probably just coincidence. I don't know. But then,
I'm sure that's it. That goes right along with everything else that was happening at that place. Okay. Rhymes and.
Well, then, there's also this. Now, this is a bit of a reach, but you know that song by They Might Be Giants called Particle Man?
Yeah,
Particle Man,
doing the things a particle can.
Yeah. Izzy Dottie Z Speck, when he's underwater, does he get wet? Or does the water get him instead, right? Clever stuff, right? Now, in that, there's a Triangle Man. Triangle Man hates everything.
Particle Man fights Triangle Man.
Yeah.
They have a fight. Triangle wins. I don't know why. Who wrote this?
They Might Be Giants.
Thank you.
Yeah, so
I wanted to start a band called They Are Probably Midgets.
Oh, that's I wanted to bring up midgets later.
Okay.
Wait. Is that a joke? I'm going to bring up midgets. Is that insulting to them? I'm going to bring them up. That's like, anyway, gosh, I'm going off in 15 different directions.
Look, man, if I start a band that is a spoof of They Might Be Giants, it's going to be They Are Probably Midgets.
Yeah, I like that.
There you go.
But here's what I'm getting at. Particle Man. And then in that song is Person Man, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Person Man hit on the head with a frying pan. Now, it's Person Man frying pan. You see where I'm going with this? Person Man frying pan. So I'm thinking that Peter Frying Pan is a person man. I don't know how the spider part comes in, though.
You know what, though? That's a pretty impressive just association.
Well,
from one thing to the next. And that's what makes one good in a situation like a murder mystery dinner theater.
Yeah, but don't you
have to make weird associations like that.
Yeah, but you don't want to go too far. Like, you're like, okay, everybody at the table, check this out. That guy over there is wearing a red T-shirt. Okay, now, what rhymes with red? Dead. If you're dead, you're not what? Alive. Who spoke? What did they speak in Airplane in the movie? Jive. Okay? Okay. Jive turkey. Turkey. Thanksgiving. Huh?
Oh, man.
Right? You could just do that for hours. You know. I think that's how a lot of police work actually works. So I also took my wife for her birthday once to a mystery dinner. Mm-hmm. Our experience was a lot different. First of all, I was on a boat. So you're on a boat and the boat leaves and then you eat and someone gets killed and then you solve it and then you are back to the dock. Okay. And in our version, I called them up in advance and I said, I know you guys do it pseudo randomly, but I was told by your website I could ask for my wife to be the murderer. And they said, okay, give her name and all this. And I said, it's her birthday. And so I didn't tell her where we're going and I don't know what it was, but on the way there, we had a fight. We had a fight. Ooh, we were fighting.
Ooh.
But when we got there, wait, did we have a fight or did I have a headache? It's one of the two. Anyway.
Because you had a headache, maybe you were in a bad mood.
And yeah, maybe.
You didn't conduct yourself properly.
And maybe
then,
that's what it was.
Then there's the fight.
Yeah. Well, we got there and we sat down. Everything was all good. yeah, some actors came in. They were like pretending that some stuff happened, and they were making jokes and walking around, and then food was served, and then the actors did more stuff. And they called up volunteers to be things, and they interacted with them a little bit. And I guess the way it's supposed to work, though, is that at the end, everybody has to write down their version of what they think happened, right? Of the five people who came up, you pick one and say, okay, Joe Blob over there, he was the murderer because his mother didn't like cream cheese, and so he went to, you know, all this weird stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then what they did was, the actors told us, is that they take all those back and they read them all, and they pick the one they like the best, and that person is wins.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much the same thing happened to us. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they picked one where my wife was the murderer. And they used that person's story. And then they told me, and I don't know, maybe just blowing smoke at my butt, they said, we would have used your story. We liked it the best, but we can't let you be the person who figured it out. And your wife's the murderer. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They're trying to get – they want as many people happy and involved.
Yeah, they're spreading the love. Yeah, yeah. Spreading it around there. But I'm glad your wife had a good birthday, though. She, being so close to Thanksgiving and all, she's cool with that.
Yeah. I mean, she's used to it. Happens every year. My birthday's really close to Christmas, so we connect on that level.
And, yeah, I see. Yeah.
I had really fancy restaurant picked out and had reservations on her birthday night, but when I got home, she was asleep.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, that's okay. We'll just go. And the next day was Thanksgiving. I was like, we'll just go. We won't cook. We'll just find some place that's serving a Thanksgiving dinner, and we'll go get Thanksgiving dinner served to us.
Okay.
Which is what we did.
Yeah.
Except every place that we called, of course. I was looking for reservations for her birthday, and I was like, fuck Thanksgiving. I'm focusing on her birthday.
All right, right.
But then when Thanksgiving rolled around and we started looking for places to eat, everybody was like laughing at us. Oh. They're like, well, yeah, you can come in and just sit for 2 hours and hope that somebody leaves. And that includes like – and we started, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like, you know, we were looking into Claim Jumper. And Marie Callender.
Yeah.
Right. Now, here's a pleasant surprise, though. And this is maybe a little tip for our listener. If you're ever in this situation where you don't want to cook on Thanksgiving and you forgot to make reservations at a nice place, we were like, all right, fuck it. Let's go to El Torito.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done. Well, by the way, we drove by Claim Jumper on the way to El Torito, and there were literally buses being unloaded of senior citizens filing into the Claim Jumper. And I was like, oh, my God. I have no idea how to handle this holiday if you're not cooking. Laura and I have cooked many times, but
yeah.
Goddamn. So it was looking bleak. But we got to El Torito, and there was, like, nobody there, which is first, like, oh, God, this is really going to suck.
Yeah.
This is going to turn into an ad for El Torito here very quickly. We sat down. There's barely anybody in there. There was a full Thanksgiving buffet with everything you might want. And then there was an entire Mexican buffet and an entire dessert buffet. All of it was fucking marvelous. All of it. I stuffed my face, and so did Laura. And we laughed and we high-fived. And it was a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Beautiful. That was beautiful. Have you ever had not Thanksgiving food on Thanksgiving?
Maybe like in college or when I was single, when I just moved to Davenport.
Yeah.
There might have been a year that went by or two where I so much didn't give a fuck.
Right.
Holidays were just another day. That it just passed right by.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, but I can't. It's
okay. I've had two. I may have mentioned them on previous episodes. And if that's the case, I apologize. But one was I was in Germany on Thanksgiving and all by myself. It was a conference anyway. Is car wash washing related. And they don't have Thanksgiving over there. So my genius was like, well, just go to KFC and get yourself something. And it was not just a KFC, Joe. It was a German KFC. And I ate it on Thanksgiving in they call them retirement rooms at the conference center. I mean, they're basically business rooms. They call them retirement because you're supposed to, after you have a discussion, you retire to the room and then, you know, have the real discussion. So if you're no longer public, you can start bribing people. Anyway, but the lights were off because it was after hours. So lights are off. I'm sitting there under the glow of a parking lot headlight through the window eating German Kentucky Fried Chicken on Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's when I started.
Did you get some? Was there mashed potatoes while you were eating fried chicken in the dark in Germany?
Yeah, yeah, I got the KFC chicken, and I got some potatoes and some corn. And I figured, like, it's almost a turkey. This is nearly.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's almost close enough to Thanksgiving food where you can't really say that it wasn't. I mean, you're eating fowl. Some people even fry a turkey on Thanksgiving. There you go. That's pretty. And you had mashed potatoes and you had corn.
Yeah.
So that's pretty Thanksgiving-y, except for being scared and dark and alone in Germany.
Yeah. Drinking.
Well, you weren't dark. You were in the dark.
I was in the dark, yeah. That was pretty dark. It was a dark place.
It was dark. You were in a dark place.
I was in a dark place.
Both figuratively and literally.
Yeah. Wow. And then the other time that I ate not Thanksgiving food on Thanksgiving, you and I have fathers. Those fathers are brothers. And they have mothers, or they have one mother. Their mother had a husband who was our father's father, and that father, husband, had a brother, okay? And that means our fathers had an uncle, and
our great uncle.
Our great uncle. And one year, I was in the same part of the country as that great uncle and his wife, and it was Thanksgiving, and so my parents said, why don't you call your great uncle and go hang out with him for Thanksgiving. So I did. He said, I think that's a great idea. Once you come on over, we'll go to a restaurant. And he said, we're going to go to a restaurant because, and he said his wife's name. And then he said, doesn't know how to cook that stuff. And that's because she's Japanese, right? They met in Japan. He married her and brought her back here. Very, 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 very nice lady. But she doesn't know how to cook that stuff. Fine. So we get in their car, and my great uncle says, by the way, since she doesn't know how to cook that stuff, we usually don't eat it. We just usually do what the Jews do. I was like,
oh my God.
Okay, cool. So we went to a Chinese restaurant. So me, my racist uncle, his Japanese wife are eating Chinese food on Thanksgiving because that's what the Jews do, except they do it on Christmas, Joe, not Thanksgiving. And it's a stereotype, and I don't know if it's true anymore, but it was pretty good.
Well, and it reminds me of Christmas Story, too. I was about to bring up, like, this seems like a Christmas thing.
It is, but it was on Thanksgiving, yeah.
Was Ralphie's family Jewish?
Were they?
A Christmas Story? I don't know, man. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I could look it up. Well, I mean...
Maybe the Bumpuses were.
Well, remember? They
Bumpuses! Sons of bitches!
Okay, this is going to be... You're going to... I don't want to hijack the whole podcast with this explanation, but I hope you don't get too mad. I've never seen that movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Right. I know all about it.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
All the trivia from the years, you know, being on the internet, it references. I know about the frozen tongue on the frozen pole and shooting himself in the eye and the Santa slide and, you know about a lot of it. But ostensibly, they're celebrating Christmas and sitting on Santa's lap. I would mark that out as not typically Jewish, at least in the time... That was like supposed to be what the, I want to say, 60s, late 50s, early 60s?
That it takes place? Did you look up to see, like, God, what a weird thing for anybody to say or take note of. Like, this is, if it is indeed, if there's any pattern at all that was to be observed about, you know, Jewish behavior. Good God.
No, you've not heard of that?
No.
Well, the idea is that a family that does not celebrate Christmas would perhaps want to have dinner nonetheless. But since it's a holiday, they'll go out. But the place that they go would be a place where the people who make the food also don't celebrate Christmas, because otherwise they'd be at home celebrating Christmas.
Holy shit. What a breakthrough. It all makes sense now.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's true, but it's definitely a thing. Like, next time we talk to our dads, we'll say, hey, dads, what's the thing with Jews eating Chinese food on Christmas? And our dads will go, yeah, right? And then we'll know they know about that.
Oh, God. All right, well, I hate to change the subject abruptly, but I wanted to talk about Bag and Cock.
Bag and Cock. Is that a lawyer's name?
No, it's this committee that I'm on at Taco Bell. It's
the Bag and Cock.
This is Thanksgiving related. Okay. We call it, for short, it's an unfortunate acronym, the Bag and Cock. Mm-hmm. It's the Burrito and Gordita and New Dorito Chalupa Oversight Committee.
Oh, right, yes.
The Bag and Cock.
Yeah.
It's a committee that I was on. Because Taco Bell does not close for Thanksgiving.
Hell no.
And there's kind of a special menu. And so I had to go to this big meeting. It was like a training to make sure that everybody knew the special construction of, you know, not just burritos and gorditas and not just the Dorito chalupas, but like all the chalupas and chocolitas and falupas and filipinitas. Filipinitas was the trainer at the – he's Mr. Anitas. His name's Philippe.
Philippe Anitas.
Yeah. He was doing the training. I just wanted to tell a quick story because I felt like such a bad person, like almost as bad as our racist great uncle.
Yeah.
I sat down for this training to learn about how to make Thanksgiving chalupas and shit. And so I could train, you know, because I'm a manager at Taco Bell. So I had to get this training, and then there was a bunch of different Taco Bell managers, and we had to go down train our own staff.
Yeah.
Because as managers, we don't, you know, I actually got the day off. And so all my employees had to stay and actually do serve food on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I was at this training. Oh, man, this makes me feel bad. And there was Philippe Anitas, and he was waving his hands around, telling us how to make Thanksgiving chalupas. But he had his assistant who was running the slides, and this woman had really googly eyes. And she was literally like cross-eyed. Well, sometimes she was cross-eyed, and sometimes her right eye would stop turning inward and would look outward. It seemed to be like scanning the room.
Wow.
Okay. And she also, hold on to your hats. She also had buck teeth.
Okay.
And it seems that she hadn't taken a shower. Her hair was pointing in all different directions.
Okay.
Okay. And I felt really bad because I was like, man, I came to this meeting. I'm supposed to get a bunch of important information. And I was like, and they've – one of the people that is facilitating this meeting is a fucking idiot. Now, yeah.
Wait a minute.
I assume
gotcha,
right away, because of the googly eyes and the buck teeth and the fucked up hair, I assumed that this woman was an idiot. And I was like – I felt disdain. Like I was disappointed. I was like, and then I caught myself and I was like, that's really terrible, man. Like you're judging someone, you're judging a book by its cover here.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with you? And then as the training went forth, it was clear that she indeed was a severe idiot.
Like, would you say
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone?
So I agree with you. I'm on board with you in terms of admonishing yourself for jumping to that conclusion. However, was she an idiot at the level of incompetency, or was she an idiot at the level of clearly this is somebody with special needs that has been given an opportunity?
No, she had no excuse. It was one of those type of idiots.
All right.
Where like they she seemed to have all of her faculties.
Okay.
And so this wasn't somebody who was kind of given a chance to, you know, oh my God, I can't dig myself out of this hole.
No, you probably can't, dude. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We can move on.
No, clearly she was intelligent. She was kind of irresponsible and hadn't done her homework. She didn't know what the hell she was talking about when it came to chalupas. Okay. And so my anger shifted toward, like, this person is unprepared.
I gotcha. Okay.
Now, she said things like, well, we're going to go through some of the terminology of bag and cock, but, you know, to be honest, the terminology of bag and cock confuses me.
Okay.
And I sat there and I was like, it confuses you? How the hell? Then you're going to explain it to us. Like, how are you going to teach me how to make a Thanksgiving Dorito chalupa if you don't even know what that means? Like, she could have figured that out.
Yeah.
And the way that she was speaking, she had the capability to present this information. She was unprepared.
I gotcha. And usually getting away with being unprepared is in the wheelhouse, if you will, of the absolutely gorgeous, right? I mean, if this woman was, you know, a mixture between Ariana Grande and Katy Perry, you would have been like, you know, I don't care if you're confused. Just keep pretending. Just, hey. And you're like kicking back and relaxing, right? Yeah.
I did learn that I have implicit bias there. And I'm gonna work on that.
Well, okay. Don't be too harsh on yourself. I mean, I think everyone does that. The fact that you caught it says a lot. And the taking down the details, the googly eyes, the buck teeth, the dirty hair. Mm-hmm. That's just, you know, that's just you looking for someone to bang. I get it. It's, shoot. Kidding.
Well, look, she said, now at any time you might get word that we need to change these food items. You know, if it comes down from corporate that the chalupas need to be changed, if the ratios between bean and cheese need to be changed, then, you know, your staff is going to have to follow suit. And this is what she said. She said, I raised my hand and I said, you didn't mention how we're supposed to know, like, where does the information come from? Are we going to get a call? Does somebody need to check emails to make sure that we're making these chalupas right? And this is what she said. She said, this is how I know she's an idiot. She said, well, this is how you'll find out. So if you hear wind, then give corporate office a call and hopefully someone will confirm for you.
Wow.
That was our instructions.
That's
if you
stupid.
Hear wind, then call the corporate office and hopefully someone will confirm for you.
Did you then say back to her, well, listen, sweetheart, I just ate a cheesy bean burrito. I'm hearing wind a lot right behind myself. So should I give you a call today? Huh? And then she goes, what? You know, I said, I hear wind. She's like, uh-huh. Yeah, and it's breaking. Are you an idiot?
This couldn't have gone better. My entire story, I was hoping, I was almost nervous that you would say the final punchline about breaking wind, and you did. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Can I ask you a couple things about that story? That one, downtrain. I've never heard that term before. As soon as you said it, I knew what you meant. But is that a term you've used before, downtrain?
Oh, yeah. It's something that happens all the time. As the first best Taco Bell manager at the second best. I'm also a regional manager, but I have to downtrain all the time.
Yeah,
new items come out, new falupas, and then suddenly, like, Felipe Nitas will be like, hey, you've got some new items. You need to learn how to make these, and then you go and you downtrain.
Yeah. I like how it sounds. I don't.
It sounds demeaning, doesn't it?
Well, okay, yes. In its usage, but I just thought it could also be something else, like a sexual act or, you know, something from yoga. I just like that downtrain, you know. It's just a cool – I'm going to use it in other ways. So I wanted to thank you for that.
When you were a pimp, did you downtrain your prostitutes?
No, but I made them charge extra to downtrain their clients.
Okay.
Yeah. How's that? So another thing, you mentioned something that – it's obliquely related to something I was thinking about. That's not very Thanksgiving-y, but I am.
See if you can tie it in. This is for fun. But go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to occasionally view photography of a more erotic nature, right? Especially if I'm home by myself and there's too many jars of coconut oil. But anyway.
Coconut oil. That's fancy.
Yeah. I tell you what.
You also use like warm hand towels, warm, moist hand towels
to wipe
up the mess.
Yes.
Your coconut oil. Okay.
Yeah. To wipe up the coconut. Yeah. I like to glisten as much as possible. And it's cheap and I can get my whole body covered pretty easy. Anyway, point is this. There was a one short clip where this attractive young lady, she's looking at the camera, right, like they do. And then she looked to the side. Her head didn't move, but her eyes just shifted, you know, to the side. Like there was a director in the background who said something. Or actually, she switched cameras right after that. So clearly, she was like looking at the next camera to make sure she knew where to look. Poor thing. Anyway.
Okay.
I don't know why I found that very, very, very sexy. Just the side glance, right? And then it reminded me of
I was thinking maybe it would take you out of your meat slapping.
No. It like enhanced it or something.
Wow, okay.
And that reminded me of a music video where the lead singer is a young, attractive young lady. She's, you know, staring at the microphone or staring at the camera, holding the microphone. And then she does this sideways glance thing also, just for a second, like it was some sort of evocative thing. And I found it also, like, that's a route. What is it about me that I like this side of the eyeball thing? That's a weird fucking fetish. But then you mentioned that this woman at your training thing she's cross-eyed
googly eye.
And I'm just wondering if that was it. That's the thing. It's like, okay, she was unorganized and she had buck teeth, but that googly eye thing, someone in the audience who was like me was like, hey, she can fuck up all she wants as long as she keeps looking everywhere at the same time. And like, that's what he found.
You're telling me you would have been turned on at the
maybe a little bit
training.
Yeah, maybe a little. Cause like, I don't know what that would look like if it was two side eyes going different directions. Like when you're glancing to the left or the right, your eyes go the same direction. But this hot young thing, she's all over the place. She's like, it's like watching two, I don't know, fairground boys.
And she had messed up hair, which is, that can be a sexy thing, like sex hair.
Sex hair, yeah. Maybe that's
what
it was.
And there was an episode, a couple episodes back, I was going through a list of beautiful women who had kind of unique teeth.
Okay, yeah.
No, I'm just saying, we've turned this around. Yeah. Like, this woman has become a sexy.
Yes. In fact, to her, that's why she's screwing up now. Like, she used to be a competent employee, right? Everything was fine. She would do her job. People like say, Beatrice, we really like what you're doing with that work that you did. And she's like, thank you. I really like doing the work that I do. They said, yeah, we don't know what it is either, but we're just keep using the words work. And like, she's like, yeah, I know. And so everything's great. And then people like, you know what? I really like the way her hair sticks out. It reminds me of that time when I was in Jamaica. And then other people like, her eyes all over the place. That makes me think of, you know, this and that and the other. And they start treating her as a sex object. And, you know, every time she makes a mistake, because people make mistakes, they're letting it go. And these mistakes start to build and build, right? She's not being reprimanded anymore for, like, forgetting to staple in the left upper hand corner of the paper.
Yeah, she's getting away with murder because she's this hot young thing.
Yeah. And so she goes to your meeting and you're like, how will we hear reports of terminology change? And she's like, you know, just eat a chalupa and after you fart, you'll know, asshole. Right? And she gets away with it.
I think you've explained the situation. Now I have clarity on what's going on here.
Was I supposed to connect that to Thanksgiving?
Well, the bag and cock meeting was about Thanksgiving.
Okay,
we never really left that. So
right.
we're on theme.
I was talking to somebody yesterday about a wedding, and I think there was a problem, like they couldn't get the caterer they wanted, and so it was last minute. People left one part of the wedding and went into this room, and it was just wall-to-wall Taco Bell. That's what they did, and I was like, that's awesome. What a beautiful thing that you're wearing your nice clothes, right? You come in from a celebration of joy and whatever, and then you walk into this room of, and I'm not, Joe, I'm not being sarcastic. If I saw that much Taco Bell, I would be happy. Right? Wall to wall.
Look, I work at Taco Bell. There's something special about Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And Taco Bell is it's getting kind of this kitschy, hipster, positive reputation now. They did like a Taco Bell hotel. I wasn't really involved with that. There's
right.
The whole story about that. They didn't want me involved. But the Taco Bell hotel, have you heard of that?
I have not heard of that. Uh-uh.
Yeah, it was like a grand opening. An entire hotel turned into just – it was all Taco Bell themed, all Taco Bell imagery. And it was a huge hit, and everybody thought it was, oh, this is super cool. It's like even in the pool, the floaties were like hot sauce bags.
Gotcha. Yeah, perfect.
It's okay. Like life-size or like human-size hot sauce bags. Anyway, yeah. It's a big thing. Taco Bell's – we're making a comeback here when it comes to the young people. And because I think for a while people were like, Taco Bell is just such terrible food. It's so bad for you. And it's
– Is that why
maybe,
they
– Maybe that's true. But
what was that movie? What was that movie with Sandra Bullock and Sylvester Stallone? And she was a cop and not Sylvester Stallone. Yes, him. No. Was it him?
Miss Congeniality.
No. No. Was it Sylvester Stallone? I think it was. Anyway, he
– Oh, Demolition Man?
Yeah, that was
it. He's a cop in the future?
Yeah. He's a cop from the past who gets frozen.
Okay. In the future.
And didn't she say something about Taco Bell won the restaurant wars and now all restaurants are Taco Bell? Was it Taco Bell? Was it Burger King?
Yeah.
It was Taco Bell.
So we have that to look forward to
yeah.
in the Sylvester Stallone future.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that I don't know if that was supposed to be in praise of Taco Bell at that time in our history, or was that like
being a condemnation? Probably poking fun at yeah. Taco Bell.
Well, it's clearly an advertising thing, right? Like clearly Taco Bell paid.
I think Felipe Benitez has been a part of the corporate office for a long time. He probably had a hand in that.
Yeah, you should ask him. You should ask him. But what I'm going to say is that you said Taco Bell's making a comeback, and I'm just wondering if that was a peak Taco Bell in a movie in the mid-80s, or is that a trough? They're like, oh, Taco Bell.
Maybe it's a little of both. I feel like that's the genius of Taco Bell marketing. It can kind of poke fun at itself a little bit.
Yeah. Anyway,
Felipe Benitez, he's the vice president of the Bag and Cock committee.
Yep.
But he's been involved at high levels in Taco Bell marketing. Mm-hmm. For a long time.
So, he's all over the place. He's like the Renaissance man of Taco Bell. It sounds like.
So I was just thinking, if I have a band called They Probably Are Midgets.
Uh-huh.
Remember that They Might Be Giants album called Flood?
Yes.
It's like their I second would name album. My first album Drought.
Yeah. Your first, not your second.
Was Flood their second album? Maybe I'll have to wait for Drought. I want to be aligned with.
I think
They Might Be Giants.
I don't know if I could look it up, but I want to. The order goes: their first album was just called They Might Be Giants, and I want to say Flood was second, and then Lincoln was third. You know what? In retrospect, I think Lincoln was second, and Flood was third. Yeah,
you're a pretty big fan of that band, huh?
Yeah, like, well, because.
Yeah, I think they're really great, but I didn't get down. You know, when you're really into a band, you know all their albums, right. And I never got that deep into it.
Right. Well, I know those. I'm an early fan. I mean, not their later stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. But my son insists on listening to the same three songs over and over again. So I try to break him into new music, and I've been doing that via They Might Be Giants recently, just because you know they also do. They did a kids album. And they did some. They have a song on the Mickey Mouse Club show thing.
They're well suited to write songs for children.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and so yeah,
they can do whatever they want. I mean, right. those guys are super talented.
Very much.
And then I would love to hear an obscene album from them. God, that would be great.
That would be good. That would be good. Farticle Man. That's so stupid.
That's obscene and for children. That could be, yeah. That's for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I was
thinking like Fuck Your Momicle Man or something.
Okay. There you go. Do it Joe style. Do it JBC style.
I have this item here that says, I fucked your mom. And then I open it and it says, in the backseat of her house.
Wait a minute. What?
That's I don't know. There's lots of notes here, but I think maybe this just made me giggle, the idea that, you know, the whole thing is trying to demean one's mother, you know. You had mentioned it in your poem. What is it called? Playing the dozens. Yeah. And that was a tradition where, you know, people make fun of each other's mamas and whatnot. Well, I figured I fucked your mom in the back seat of her house, which means she lives in her car, and that's
okay. Oh, I got
feeling
you.
Icky inside. Yeah. Now I'm making fun of people that are not conventionally attractive, and now I'm making fun of homeless people.
Not to mention midgets.
We're watching. You ever seen that documentary? Who killed Little Gregory?
No. Tell me about it.
I found myself judging people on there.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
Got dry mouth and I'm pouring water out of a jug over here. I'm listening to your story. Little Gregory, somebody killed that fucker, and then what happened?
Oh, no. It's a documentary in France long ago, I don't know, in the 80s, I think, a child was killed. And this documentary, it all takes place in France, and it's all a bunch of like news clips. You really get to see the styles of people in France. I think it was in a suburb of Paris. I was really like, oh, look at this. This is what France looked like, and this is the style of the people at the time and everything.
Yeah.
And I noticed, I was like, geez, man, all of these dudes seem to have really big, hairy eyebrows. I'm a fucking terrible human being. And it took me out. This is like, it was really bleak stuff. And I was like, oh no, who killed this little kid? And it's terrible. And I was like, look at that motherfucker's eyebrows. God. Somebody, like, just trim the eyebrows. That's all you need to do.
I'm going to name today's show.
At one point, my wife was, like, in tears because, you know, something had happened and somebody had learned something important about the murder of this kid. And then there's this newscaster up there, and he's breaking the news about a new suspect or something. And my wife is crying. I didn't realize that she was in tears. And I said, I wrote it down because I was shocked myself. I turned to my wife and I said, "Do you see the fucking caterpillars on that werewolf?" and she was crying, and I was like, "Oh wait, she's crying about the murder, not about these horrendous fucking eyebrows on this newscaster." Anyway, happy Thanksgiving. That story has nothing to do with Thanksgiving. Where do we go from here?
How do we get on the subject?
Like, take the reins. I feel bad.
But I just want to. Okay, somehow we got to France via documentary. How do we get to the documentary?
Because at the Bag and Cock meeting, there was a woman who looked goofy. I went back to that a little bit, and then I've got a problem judging people by their appearance.
Well, okay, I'll change the subject. I went for a miniature epic beer walk. Now,
I want to hear about that.
So, Thursday and Friday, I was in charge of the boy for most of the day all by myself. His wife was working. It's totally fine. I love the kid, but you know how it's like raising a 4-year-old, or you will in 4 years. But anyway,
yeah.
And I have to do it again today, which is why we're podcasting at 5 a.m. So I have to do it before little guy wakes up. So yesterday, my wife was like, "Why don't you do one of your long ass walks? We're gonna go meet some people for dinner. Why don't you walk from here to their house?" So I did, and it was a mini one. So I only stopped at two breweries. I mean, speaking of notes, I took notes on the beers. I wanted to read you one of the notes.
Okay.
Especially since you don't drink, this is going to be something good for you. Just because, I'm walking, I'm listening to Tool, I'm listening to Earthless, I stop at a bar, I have a beer, I keep walking. It's just a good day for me, And I thought, why not give something back? I'll just write some notes. Maybe I'll someday be a beer reviewer guy, Let me see.
Oh, you would be really good at that. I'm surprised that you haven't done that. Like,
I am too. I am also surprised. I have written notes on like those apps. Like, there's the Untappd app where you drink your beer and you say, "What do you like about it?" And you say, "Well, you know, I like this, this." So that's what I've written here. I had a Riverbird Hazy Pale Ale. Let's see, a deep yellow gold, unfiltered, particulate swirling, reminiscent of dust in the wind. Nothing lasts forever but the dirt and sky. So syrupy, ooh, syrupy mouthfeel, oily, like a weird friend trying to force the tip in the back of the tongue to kiss and make up after an argument over nacho cheese versus Cool Ranch Doritos. Heavy esters, whatever the fuck that means. Notes of banana, sexually ambiguous pine needles, soggy Cheerios. 5% ABV, perfect for watching a mediocre game of football. 88 IBUs, just the right amount of IBUs. One less IBU and I'm harassing the bartender for carafes of water. One more IBU and I'm spitting that shit in her face. That's a subtle difference, but the folks at Golden Calf Brewing have an expertise. Not unlike a man with seven knuckles on one finger digitally stimulating his otherwise recalcitrant wife. 4.7 stars. That's what I wrote. That's what my notebook says. Yeah.
I have a couple things. Okay. Is it recalcitrant?
It could be. What did I say?
And did you say heavy ester?
Yeah, whenever you review beer, you always have to mention the esters. I don't know what those are or what they do. But I just
thought that was a weird coincidence because the googly-eyed woman at the training was called Heavy Ester.
Oh, my God. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Heavy Ester doesn't normally look like that. Heavy Ester is usually confident. But Heavy Ester was digitally stimulated by her husband with seven knuckles on one finger. What you were saying was post-orgasmic Heavy Ester. Her hair is usually normal. Her eyes are fine. But that dude did a number on her. That's what you were seeing.
And the number was seven.
Yeah, I can't. Seven knuckles. I can't explain the buck teeth though.
Well, and I didn't bring it up, but it's true. Heavy Ester is indeed also overweight.
Yeah. Well.
Well, I completely took the wind out of your beer review. I thought that was really well done.
Well, those
I think
are
you
just
should
the,
do that as yeah. For supplemental income.
I think I should. Maybe JBC would like, you know, because they have a beer magazine. Maybe I could get, you know, I don't know why I didn't think of that before.
We have a beer magazine?
Sorry, not JBC. I'm sorry. It's that time of day. Larco has a beer magazine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, don't know why I didn't think of this before. Yeah, and those are just the notes I wrote down. I think I can, you know, shape that into verbiage.
By the way, recalcitrant, mm-hmm. That's one of those words that I've only read, and I don't think I've ever heard anybody try to pronounce it before. And so in my head, it's always been recalcitrant. Uh-huh. I think, of course, that you're right. You're just better with the English language than I am.
No, I'm pretty sure you are because the C is right before an I. Whenever that's the case, it's a sus sound, not a cuss sound.
Ah.
I think.
Rules.
I don't know. I'll look it up. And I don't fucking care. In fact, I'm going to look it up, and whatever it's supposed to be, I'm going to do it the other way for the rest of my goddamn life.
That's right.
I am thankful for my freedom as a American to pronounce words however I want. I lost steam there. We got about 6 minutes left. What's your favorite Thanksgiving food? I think we've done the show before, but whatever.
My favorite Thanksgiving food is a properly prepared green bean casserole.
Oh, yeah.
And you need the crispy French onions on top, and they need to be broiled at the end. Whoa.
You broil the crispy French onions?
Yeah. I do the mushroom soup. You mix it up with the green beans, and then you mix it up with the crispy onions too.
Oh, gotcha.
So there's also soggy onions in there, and you bake it, and then at the end you put a fresh layer of onions on top, and then you broil it to crisp them all up real good.
Oh.
And it's wonderful. It's super easy too, and you know I grew up in a trailer park. down on Payne Street in Sevierville, Tennessee. And that was an affordable thing. Like, we didn't – you can do that. All you need is the onions, the soup, and the green beans, and you can – and an oven.
And an oven.
But even if your oven doesn't work, you might be able to figure out a way to get the onions crispy on top if you have enough – if you can make fire.
Yeah, there's probably a way. Those trailer park folks are innovative. Or something.
Did you even talk about your Thanksgiving?
No, not a word.
Mm-mm. Can you give us a quick recap of that before we close down?
Because the wife was working, we were invited and took up one of her very good friends. We went to her house. Her and her husband, their two kids, her parents were there. And so we all, you know, had a – we ate a lot. It was all very good. And then after that, bear with me. For dessert, their two neighbors and their two kids and their neighbor's sister and their neighbor's parents all came over. The house was floor to ceiling with screams. It was just, oh, it was terrible. And the kids were out of control, too. Oh, it was a nightmare. But very nice people. One of them might be a listener today. I don't know. I told him about the podcast, and he looked it up, and... I was very pleased. It was very kind of him. So, hey, Jose, if you are our listener today, congratulations. You have survived 56 minutes and 34 seconds of they might be or probably midgets.
Jose, I'm sorry about the heavy Esther story and the at the bag and cock meeting.
I hope you're not. You know, So that was what we did. And my favorite food I brought up is mashed potatoes. And I had three versions this year. Two that I made and then one that was store-bought, but not bad. Because in anticipation of having Thanksgiving at someone else's house, my wife said, why don't we go to Costco and get you one of those pre-made Thanksgiving dinners so that you can have, air quotes, leftovers. And I said, that's a great idea. Aww, so, yeah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, she's thoughtful. She knows, Allison Christ. She knows it's my favorite holiday. So we had and then also because Costco makes those pumpkin pies, they're as big as a tire wheel, and they're $6, like $6. You could live off that. So we got one of those,
and they're fucking good too.
They're good, yeah. And we got one of those for the dinner we went to, and then one for just me at home. So, that's been my Thanksgiving.
Well, it sounds like we had a pretty good Thanksgiving. Yeah. I'm kind of sad today because I was hoping that our uncles would be on the show.
Yes.
our dads, which are, of course, both of our uncles because we're cousins.
Yep.
I feel like I turned them off because I sent a group text with you on it, too, so you'll remember this. But I feel like I might have offended them, and so I didn't even get a response. They're not here on the show today. They didn't even respond to me when I invited them to the show.
I don't know why I got to keep reminding you of this, dude, but your dad told a story on our podcast about taking a frozen turd up the butt. Why do you think anything you sent him would be offensive? What did you say in this text that would offend him?
I said – this is going back to me being a terrible person, but yeah. I was using some language that I think – it was disparaging to the Irish people. And I don't know if my dad's super protective. We do have some Irish in our blood, and maybe he felt that I was insulting our heritage or something.
I can't fathom.
A frozen turd up the ass is one thing, but to make fun of Irish people is yet another, perhaps.
Really?
For dad.
Okay. Are you serious? Fuck the Irish. I love them. I do. And I think they're the first people to agree with me. You know, fuck that. Irish can take care of themselves. They don't need some guy with a Sonos music system that goes from his house to his he shed telling them that they need to be protected by him. I have no fucking idea where I'm going with this. Sorry, Joe.
Well, I just said we would like to invite you guys. This is to our uncles and our fathers. We would like to invite you guys to a JBC Thanksgiving recap show. We will be recording at the unwiped ass crack of dawn in the wee hours of the morning on Sunday at 5 a.m. This is your mission if you choose to accept it. The episode will be recorded, quote, with or without you, as Bono would say. But Bono is a filthy potato eater and a malignant antisocial megalomaniac.
Okay, so you think that's insulting to the Irish?
Yeah, Bono is a fucking potato eater? That's pretty rough.
All right, I mean...
It's not as bad as thinking somebody with fucked up hair, buck teeth, googly eyes, and who is overweight is an idiot. That's really offensive.
That's not... Okay, calling somebody a potato eater, if you're saying it disparagingly, that's true for anything, right? Like, hey, Joe, you fucking...
Filthy potato eater.
You filthy podcaster. Hey, Joe, you goddamn husband. You know, that's not... You can say it like that and try to be disdainful, but potato eater, like... Why would a person who eats potatoes be in any way insulted by being told that they eat potatoes? I love potato. Call me a potato eater. And I'm filthy
because
right now.
Because it's associated historically. It's a pejorative term historically. Like, why would Chinaman be bad? A man from China? It is bad because it's historically attached to derision.
So, associated. So, its use in derision is to... associate with something that was not only racist, but also self-acknowledging the racism. Like, we know that we hate the Irish. We know that that's racist. That's why we take whatever it is they do. Like, if anyone else eats potatoes, it's fine. But not if you're a fucking Irishman. I mean, is that...
Yeah.
So when you used it, Joe, you were trying to make a historical callback. You're trying to say, Bono is... the kind of person that a person who knows he's racist would think he is. He actually is. The racist person would be right. Is that what you're saying?
I have to admit, I was just trying to insult his Irish heritage. For comedy.
And you feel that his being insulted is why he did not respond.
Look, for some reason, usually when we ask our fathers to be on the show, they jump to it. And this time I got nothing from them. I'm actually wondering, it's one of two things. Either they're not okay and we need to call them and check on them.
Nah, fuck that.
Or the Bono or the filthy potato eater thing I think might have got to them. And they're like, you know what? Fuck those guys. We're not doing their show.
Maybe they're in a car right now driving to your house. One, to either beat you, but or two, because they're concerned. They're like, wait a minute. Why would he insult Bono when Bono was the lead singer of a band that put out an album that put on its cover a face of a child that looked like him when he was that age? That's a very self-destructive thing to say. Is he suicidal? Let's not call him or his wife or any of his other caregivers. Which isn't really what you have. You don't have caregivers, whatever.
My caregivers.
Let's just drive there. And save his life. Maybe that's what's happening, Joe. Did you ever think about that? Huh?
No, I should give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm glad that you bring that up. I keep forgetting that it's true, and then you bring it up again. That on the cover of the album War, there is a picture of a little boy, and that is apparently... And I agree. That is exactly what I looked like when I was a child.
Yeah. And you're the one who told me about it. I wasn't like one day just bebopping through...
Really?
Tower
I thought
Records.
That was your thing.
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't. You told me. You. I think you held up the album. I said, hey, this looks like me. And I said, what the fuck? You're four. Why are you listening to
you
too?
The vinyl album. So the kid's head was the size of my head. And I could put it side by side. Except I looked like Dom DeLuise at the time. So it didn't really work.
No, it worked somehow. I don't know. You're a genius, but yeah.
We're kind of in the weeds on this Bono thing. Let's wrap this up.
All right. Well, we only have like 55 seconds of outro left, so I'll go quiet. I'll say Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And then you can scream something.
Okay. Well, wait. First, follow us on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Just Because.
Yeah.
And
Instagram.
Go to our web. _B_Cousins on Instagram.
Yeah.
Rate and review us. On your podcast apps and on iTunes. Please. We need more attention. We're doing this for attention. This is a cry for help. What are we going to talk about next week?
sock puppets.
Bag and cock!